And for now, let's go to our scripture lesson, which is in the book of James. Let's go to James chapter 3. And today I'm going to read the same 11 verses that I read last week, because there's just one more thing that I need to say about these verses. James chapter 3, verses 2 through 12, I read out of my New American Standard Bible translation. I will have those words up here on the screen. Please follow along with me in your Bibles. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Good. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And I'm going to start with verse number 2. And these are the words of James, who is the half-brother of Jesus. And as he was inspired to write, he says this, starting in verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. We'll stop there. Let's go to God in a time of prayer. Lord, once again, your word is alive and active. It's a double-edged sword, and it penetrates to the hearts of every individual that hears it. So, Father, we want your word to penetrate us here today, these 11 verses. What do they mean for us today? How can we apply what we are to learn here today from this scripture? We trust in the Holy Spirit in this, and we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we continue in our expository of the book of James, and this is week number 18. And I have titled today's message, They Will Obey Us. Those are the words that James uses in chapter 3, verse number 3. Now we're going to get to the book of James here in a minute. But first, I need to present to you a few scripture passages that we need to impress in all of our minds here today. Kind of like building a foundation, so to speak, on what this message is going to be based on. First, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And the Word of God says this, But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? Key line here. But we have the mind of Christ. Paul says this to the people at the church at Corinth. The Christian has the mind of Christ. That means the Christian will always have a biblical world view. That means the Christian always stands on the Word of God. And it's not popular today, folks, to do that. But it is the way the Christian must think, the way the Christian must act, and the way the Christian must speak. So let's keep that in mind. Let's keep this in mind. We're going to go to a second passage that we're going to build this foundation on. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17. There's a little bit more here, but I'll get to the key part here in a second. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. Because the Christian has the mind of Christ, the Christian is also called to be separate, separate from the world. The Christian is in this process of what we call sanctification, which means the Christian is becoming more Christ-like day by day and more having the mind of Christ. The Christian is not called to be like the world. So we need to remember those two things. So I hope we all got that. Number one, the Christian has the mind of Christ and is not to conform to the world. We may be in the world, but we are not of the world. So, with this in mind, with this as our foundation, I just ask you stay with me here this morning. We're going to get pretty deep, I guess. 3 weeks ago in my message, when we were talking about James chapter 3, verse 1, about the teachers of the word, I said this, I put these 3 points up here. To be a teacher of the word of God, number one, that person must have the right qualifications. Number two, that person must have the right motives. And number three, that person must teach the right doctrine, must teach sound doctrine. James says this, there will be a stricter judgment for those who are teachers of the Word of God. However, many of today's teachers, many of today's preachers, many of today's churches and denominations have become soft. How and why does this happen? The same three reasons. Number one, because unqualified and uncalled people are filling pulpits and filling teaching positions. Number two, because people who have greedy and selfish motives are filling pulpits and filling teaching positions. Number three, because of those first two, false doctrine is running rampant from false teachers within churches. And what happens when we don't have the right people in the right positions? The church becomes non-offensive. The church prefers to be like the world instead of being like the word. And the church prefers to be politically correct. False teachers, along with itching ears, have taken over the church. And this leads, where does this lead us? This leads to a church that is impotent at both the local level and even all the way up to the denomination level. Instead of the church being a biblical influence out there in the world is influencing and even running the church today. And as your pastor, I refuse to allow the world to influence Beech Grove Church. We're just not going to be a part of what they are saying out there. So the remainder of today's message here this morning may or will be offensive to some people. But some things just need to be said. And if they're not said from here, if they're not said from the pulpit as sound biblical teaching, then church people will never hear the truth. And church people will never be a biblical influence out there in the world. Instead, these church people who never hear the truth, they just blend right in with the rest of the world. And that is not what a Christian is to do. We are called to be separate from the world. We would all agree that the moral compass of the United States of America is in the toilet. And yes, you can say that from the pulpit, because that's where the moral compass of America is. It's in the toilet. And it gets that way, my friends, when the church fails to be the church. When people who claim to be born again Christians fail to be a light in the dark, in a dark world. When Christians who claim to be Christians fail to be the salt to the unsaved. And it gets that way when church people love the world more than they truly love the Word of God. In James chapter 3, verses 2 through 12, we are learning about the tongue and how such a small part of the body can have such a powerful impact in both a positive way and in a negative way on others. And that is certainly the context of this passage, and we discussed that last week. If you want to go and listen to that message, it's up on the church website. But this morning, I'm going to put the shoe on the other foot. Today, I want to look at the communicated word, not by what we speak and what others may hear, but from the standpoint of what we, the church, hear by what others are saying and others are speaking. Specifically, what the world is speaking to us. And then I'm going to tie all that together with what's happening in America today. Have you ever heard this phrase? It is easier to deceive the masses than to convince the masses that they have been deceived. I don't know who's responsible for saying that. It's not in the Bible, but it's very true. It is easier to deceive the masses than to convince the masses that they have been deceived. And folks, this is where we are in 21st century America. Folks, we live in a liberal agenda society that wants to push their news, their views, and their opinions on all of us. And this agenda wants to deceive the masses, and in particular, they want to deceive us, the church, into believing their agenda. And they are demanding that we, the church, become a cooperative puppet to their agenda. They are, in fact, saying something like this: they will obey us. And that's their cry to power. They want to wield their power and control over us, and specifically the church. They don't want a person to have Jesus Christ as their Savior. They want to be our Savior. This agenda wants to be our Savior. They say that they can save us. This agenda, however, is anti-biblical, and it is a direct assault on the Word of God. And Satan loves it. What better way for Satan to deceive the church than by watching the church, little by little, this church, this church, this church, now this denomination, buy into this liberal agenda. And then those churches and those denominations promoting those liberal agendas as if it has biblical authority because it's coming from the pulpit and the church now condones it and the church now supports it. Remember, Satan does not want to fight the church. He wants to join it. That's where he does his best work. So let's talk about three specific issues that this agenda wants us, the church, to buy into. One, the liberal agenda wants the masses to believe in evolution. Evolution was not even thought of until Charles Darwin conjured it up somewhere in the 1800s. And today it is taught as truth in our school systems, and it's shoved down our throats by the scientific community. And those of us who believe Genesis, the creation account, Genesis 1, the six-day literal account, are laughed at by the world and the scientific community because we believe in a God-centered fairy tale. And unfortunately, the masses truly have been deceived. And it is especially discouraging when the church tries to shove billions and billions of years of evolution somewhere in between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:24. So the gauntlet is put out there. Do you believe the Genesis account or do you not? It's really that simple, my friends. But this liberal agenda is not too concerned with this little pity thing called evolution, because they don't care, really care one way or another how we believe. It's just a small issue. So this liberal agenda takes their agenda to the next level. Enter radical feminism. And I use the word and the adjective radical. Okay? Radical feminism. This is a branch of the liberal agenda that is out to destroy the family unit. Why? Because the family unit is something that is God ordained. And they do not want anything God ordained or to be part of something that they condone and something that they support. Well, we can't have that in our agenda. Let's just wipe out anything and everything that has the slightest influence of Bible influence to it. Let's just destroy it all the best way that we can. And folks, it's just a small minority. And that small minority is working because it is easier to deceive the masses than to convince the masses that they have been deceived. So we covered the first issue, evolution. It's a small issue. Let's cover two more high-profile issues that this liberal agenda wants us, the church, to swallow. And unfortunately, some have, and I assure you, we are not. Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Newsflash, Beech Grove, there's only two genders, male and female. Thank you. Only two genders, and that's it. There's nothing in between. God created you male, or he created you female. Even a child knows the difference between a male and female. Just pull down somebody's pants, and you'll know the difference. It's that simple, my friends. God created this thing simple. And now we have a woman who has been appointed to the Supreme Court who cannot answer the question, what is a woman, because she's not a biologist. I'm not a biologist. And please, all you have to do is pull your pants down and I will tell you what you are. A male, or you are a female. It's not difficult, my friends. But I promise you, this same woman, when she gets into the Supreme Court, she's going to fight for women's rights, even though she does not know what a woman is. How ridiculous is this country getting to? My goodness. Romans 1:28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Folks, this is where we are right now. We are in a society that is being run by depraved minds. What is a depraved mind? Webster defines it as one that is worthless and a mind that is totally useless. Hey, do we see that out there? Amen. Yes, we do. So let's keep in mind here, my friends, not for a second, that there is a movement out there that is aimed to destroy. Listen now, it's aimed to destroy the family unit. And it's called LGBTQ, and I understand they add an I after it now. LGBTQI. Let's look at Genesis 19, 4 through 5. Before they, who's they? That's Lot and his family and the two angels. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter, and they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we might have relations with them." Folks, the men of Sodom did not want to play poker with the angels. That is not why they wanted them to come out. I think we all know why they wanted to come out, because they wanted to have relations with them. And that is why God destroyed the city of Sodom, because of their wicked sin. Leviticus 18:22. "You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination." Personally, when I think about this whole thing, I think of something like this is actually pretty sick, that a guy would want to kiss another guy. I'll be friends, but that's as far as I take it, okay? That's it, all right? But somebody might, "Well, Mike, that's Old Testament, that's Old Testament." Okay, good, let's go to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Yes, the liberal agenda out there promotes this LGBTQ movement. And why? Because let's destroy the family unit. And my friends, if you haven't already seen, the month of June is Pride Month. Let's celebrate Pride Month. Well, if we're going to do that, why don't we celebrate Fornicator Month? Why don't we have, hey, it's Idolatry Month, or it's Adulterer Month, or it's the Effeminate Month, or it's, hey, let's honor the thieves out there. Why don't we do all this? The covetous, the drunkards, the revilers. Hey, it's Swindler Month. The month of November is Swindler Month, everybody. See how ridiculous this has become? I do not hate those who choose to lead alternate lifestyles. It is not the unforgivable sin. You can repent of it and turn from your ways. Praise the Lord. If you want to lead an alternate lifestyle, go right ahead. But do not force me. Do not force the church by government legislation that I have to endorse and condone those kinds of sinful actions, because I'm not. Because I'm going to follow this before I will ever follow a godless agenda. Is there anybody out there with me? And may I warn you, Beech Grove, that if you stand against this LGBTQ movement, you and I, you are the haters. I am the hater. You are the one who does not understand modern times, and them times, they are changing, because you are the one that wants to believe some 2,000-year-old fairy tale book, and we're not going to have anything of it. Listen, I understand the unsaved hating me and the position that this church takes on the LGBTQ. But when others who claim to be Christians, when they start hating me and hating us for taking a stand against LGBTQ, that's when I know that they have been won over by this liberal agenda. The masses have been deceived. And I find it unbelievable that there are Christians and Christian churches and even denominations that are pro-LGBTQ. Not going to happen at Beech Grove Church, my friends. Not as long as I'm here. And if you want it to happen, you better get rid of me, because it's not going to happen here. Amen. Deceiving the masses. These churches have bought into this liberal agenda that's out there, and it's an anti-God agenda. This agenda symbolically is now the rudder that James talks about that's guiding the direction of that ship, guiding the direction of these churches. And now this agenda has these churches going exactly where this liberal anti-God agenda wants them to go. And I assure you, my friends, it is not a biblical direction. Next issue, Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. For you form my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. There are some people out there who do not consider a fetus inside a mother a human life. Well, God considers it a human life, so guess what? I consider it a human life, and that's where I'm going to stand. So let's talk about this third and final thing called abortion. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 13. You shall not commit murder. How much easier can that be, folks? Because that's exactly what abortion is. You're murdering that child inside that mother. Hit Proverbs number 6, chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among the brothers. Innocent blood. It's an abomination to the Lord. Hands that shed innocent blood. Folks, the safest place in the world should be inside a mother's womb. Not no more. Not no more. Ask the 63 million babies that have been aborted since 1973. And that's just here in America. Again, I do not hate those people who choose to perform or have abortions. It is not the unforgivable sin. It can be repented of. But do not force me, do not force the church by government legislation that I have to endorse or condone those kinds of sinful actions. Because I'm going to follow this before I will ever follow their godless agenda. And again, may I warn you, Beech Grove, that if you stand against this pro-abortion movement, you are the hater. I am the hater. You are the one. I am the one who does not understand the times. This is 21st century America, Mike. Come on, get over it. Because we are the ones who want to believe some old 2,000-year-old fairy tale book. I said it before, and I'll say it again. I understand the unsaved hating me in the position that this church takes on being pro-life. But when others who claim to be Christians hate me, hate us, for taking a stand against the pro-choice abortion movement, that's when I know that they have been won over by this liberal anti-God agenda. And I find it unbelievable that there are Christians and churches and even denominations that are pro-choice. Folks, it's not going to happen here. Deceiving the masses, it's not going to happen here. These churches have bought into some kind of liberal anti-God agenda. And then they disguise it as the Word of God. The organization, Comfort Care Women's Health, we support them every year. We have baby bottles. We fill them up. After about 3 months, we give to that organization. And thank you, Beech Grove, for being such a generous church and donating what you donate. In a conversation I had with one of their representatives about a year ago, they said this, that there are churches that absolutely refuse to support their organization because Comfort Care Women's Health is pro-life. Churches. I know I often speak unfavorably about the Catholic Church and Catholic Church doctrine, but at least the Catholic Church got this right. Nancy Pelosi claims to be Catholic. Did you know that just recently she has now refused to partake in Holy Communion in the Catholic Diocese of San Francisco, her hometown, because of her stand on abortion? For once, you're going to see me give the Catholic Church a thumbs up. And now we have Roe versus Wade, which is being put back in the spotlight, and it's a possible reversal, and decisions are going to be what the state wants to do. Folks, I can just say this. Depending on the outcome of those states, get ready for acts of violence. The liberal agenda supporters are not as calm as us pro-life supporters. Trust me, they're not. This agenda, pro-choice, pro-abortion, has symbolically put bits into the mouths of these horses, into these churches, and now this agenda has these churches going whichever way this agenda wants them to go. And I assure you, my friends, these churches are not going in a godly direction. I titled this message today, "They Will Obey Us." Folks, that is exactly what this agenda wants from us. Church, you will obey us. We will put those bits into your mouth, and we will put that rudder at the back end of your ship, because we want to control you. They want power, and they want to have control over all of us. And controlling the deceived masses, people that I call sheeple, half sheep, half people, is easy to do. It's easy to deceive the masses. But there's just one obstacle in the way, my friends, and that is the true church of God. And that would be us, and there are many others out there like us. Praise the Lord. But they're saying this, let's get the church on our side too. Let's feed them with enough pressure that they will bend and they will break and they will be submissive to our liberal and God-hating agenda. So let's bring this thing full circle. How do churches fall so easily into the grasp of these liberal agendas? Simple. You get people in pulpits who are not qualified and uncalled. You get people in pulpits and in teaching positions that have evil motives because they not only want to satisfy their own self-serving desires, and that's what they want to do. And then because of number one and number two, they proliferate false doctrine. Usually because that's what the itching ears of the congregation want to hear. Let's not make any waves in the church, my friends. I don't want you to be mad or angry at me. And it's not popular. It's not popular to stand on the Word of God, because standing on the Word of God involves persecution. So get ready. That is what is going to happen. And we don't want the church. Let's not feel any pressure from the world. Let's be just like them. Let's not be separate. I don't want persecution. 1 Corinthians 2:15, 16, had it up there earlier. Remember, my friends, we have the mind of Christ. We have a biblical worldview. We stand on the Word of God. And again, it's not popular. And it is going to involve persecution. 2 Corinthians 6:14, 17. We read it before. We are called to be separate. Folks, I beg you, please. There's a lot of people, maybe not so much in here, but there are people in churches. They just need to wake up to the truth. But they need to first hear the truth. We are called to be separate from the world, not like the world. And Jesus answers that by saying this, John 15. This is right after the Last Supper, before he's arrested in the garden. He says this, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." I'm going to throw the gauntlet down. If you are not ready for the world to hate you, then maybe you're not ready to be a Christian. Because that's what's going to happen, my friends. That's what's going to happen. Because when you stand for this, you are going to be hated. Wasn't so much that way 30 years ago, maybe not even 20 years ago. Welcome to 21st century America. It is easier to deceive the masses than to convince the masses that they have been deceived. Me, you, and this church cannot and will not be deceived into supporting any kind of liberal agenda that's anti-God, that's being pushed on us today. Just not going to happen, my friends. Not going to happen. Remember, the Christian has a biblical worldview because the Christian has the mind of Christ. And the Christian has been called to be separate from the world. So get ready for the battle, my friends. It's coming. It is test time for church people. So the question now becomes, are you going to pass the test?